This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back, Ronnie.
Welcome back, Martin.
Well, thanks, Ronnie. It's so nice of you to welcome me back to this fine Aftershock Central podcast dedicated to, well, I mean, you can guess from the title, Aftershock Comics. They're the best, Ronnie.
Yep.
They're the best.
You missed a great one.
Did I? Oh, the Atom one. Yes, I know. Don't remind me. I already feel like poo-poo for missing it.
Yep. And he showed up just for you.
I know. He called me out by name a couple times. I was like, God, dog. I'm just going to quit work. So I can just podcast all the time.
Yeah, you could be like Daryl, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had a good excuse, you know.
Yeah, he has a good excuse.
He had a good excuse. But you know, Daryl. I mean, you guys did a show for me with Adam Glass. Daryl did a show for me. He had Tom King on Gotham by Geeks. Tom was very nice to answer my question very politely. Great answer. Tom King is not on my poo-poo list.
Yeah, that's like the first time in, what, a year?
Yep, that's about right. Anyways, we don't need to talk about DC Comics, which are awesome, but we're not going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the even awesomer. Is awesomer a word? It is now. Aftershock Comics. God. Ronnie, I feel like we're in a good place with Aftershock right now, Ronnie. I got to tell you, I'm very impressed, Lonnie. I'm not going to lie.
Aftershock's on fire.
I'm not going to lie. I'm very impressed. I read Pestilence number 2. Yep. I read Baby Teeth number 1.
Yep.
I got caught up on Animosity. Mm-hmm. I reread The Normals because we should discuss it a little bit. I'm missing something though. There's
World Reader?
I read World Reader. Well, not the new one. I didn't read, 3 just came out today?
Yeah, right.
I didn't read it, but I did read 2 last week or the week before. Man, so much goodness.
So much goodness.
But there's something missing in my heart.
Your black heart?
My black-eyed heart.
Yeah.
It's missing.
It's missing.
It's sad. Very sad. Yeah. But there's some really good horror stuff coming out, man. Really good horror stuff. I think Joe is just turning Aftershock into books Martin wants to read, comics.
Yeah.
It's the new publisher. All different Aftershock.
That's right. All new, all the same, rebirth. We're still here.
Yeah. God, so good.
And I think I said this like 2 episodes ago, but it's like every week or every other week there's a new number one that's like hard hitting and in your face.
Yeah, totally in your face.
An actual number one, not a
relaunch number one.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. God, it's so good. It's a good time to be an Aftershock fan. I know we've got some new listeners, so welcome to the new listeners. We got the Adam Glass bump.
Yeah, we did.
We got the Adam Glass bump, which is nice.
We got the Supernatural crowd.
Hey, you know what? We joked about this. We're going to do the Supernatural Central podcast.
Hey, I would be down for it.
Hey, I will tell you. So Ronnie knows this is not like public knowledge. But I haven't been a big fan of Supernatural. So Ronnie made fun of me for... as soon as we knew that we were going to talk to Adam, until the interview and even after. Mm-hmm. Because I've talked a little smack about Supernatural. However, as I told you in our conversation, I didn't watch the stuff that he was doing. I watched a couple episodes of the first season. So, right. After the interview, I've decided it's on my Netflix queue. I'm going to start it probably this weekend, maybe Sunday. I'm going to start at season 6, which is when Adam came on, and go from there. So I'll do 6 through 10.
You got questions, you just reach out and I'll answer them.
Sure, no problem. You can ask friend of the show, Adam Glass, via private messenger.
Yeah. Well, not like I won't know what's going on. I've seen all of them, so.
Sure. That's true. Yeah, you and Mike love some Supernatural, man.
Yeah.
Anyways, the interview was really good, so go check that out. It was the previous episode to this one. I don't know what number it is. I'm not going to lie. What number are we on now?
We're on that number.
I think 357 sounds pretty good.
Sounds about right.
Episode 24. Oh, my God. Ronnie.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is episode 25. Why are we not having like a luau, a special anniversary episode?
Does that mean that we get breaks on car insurance now?
Yes.
Because we're 25?
Yes. Amazing.
Awesome.
Anyways, I really, seriously though, I thoroughly enjoy the Adam Glass chat. You missed the panel at C2E2 because you were busy, parking or walking or something. I don't know what you were doing.
Yeah, I was doing that.
But he sounded awesome at the panel. And you can check that out. I've got it on the feed if you haven't heard it. It is episode 21. God, he seems so cool. And he was, God, I feel so crappy that I missed this interview.
See? And I think we even said it, like, you only show up when Joe's on, when the big boss is on. That's the only time you're on. You miss Phil.
I know.
Adam.
I know.
The next guest, you'll probably miss too.
I'm not going to lie though. I'm kind of glad I missed it. I know this sounds terrible, but I'm partially glad I missed it because I really, really enjoyed the conversation. And like, yeah. I told you in on Facebook, it's like Adam Glass is my spirit animal.
Well, now you have two spirit animals.
Like, he was talking. I was like, oh my God, Adam Glass could be me. Like, he's a huge Valiant fan. He's loved comics all his life. I grew up, like, I don't know, a 5-10 minute drive from where Adam grew up. Like, it's crazy. I feel like we might be twinsies.
Well, he's a little older than you, so.
Well, yeah.
So it's more like he's Arnold Schwarzenegger and you're Danny DeVito then.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But no, it's a good episode. I enjoyed it. So if you haven't heard it, go listen to the last episode. Episode 24, History Class with Adam Glass. Some good rhyming there, Ronnie, on your episode title. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Well, it fit in because some of the college professors was teaching Rough Riders. So, you know.
It's true. This is true. God, it's so good. That book is great.
That might make me want to go back to college. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Sign me up for Rough Riders 101.
Sign me up, too. Oh, God, I would love to join that team. I hope Aftershock does green light the next book. I guess he said he had 4 planned, right?
Yeah.
That'd be freaking awesome, dude. I would just want a Harry Houdini like miniseries.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
Like the Houdini versus debunking the cult or the magic stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be crazy.
Is there any Aftershock news we should talk about before we get into these books?
Well, they have been teasing a new series.
Yes, they have.
And 2 totally random pictures.
Is that the same book?
Yeah, well, I assume so, because it's clue number 1 and clue number 2, so...
God, it's so weird. So the first one was Octopus Tentacles.
Yep.
Which, you know, I love me some...
Octopussy?
some Octopus Tentacles. and then the second one was, I don't know, it looked like a demon type thing.
Yeah.
A couple demon things.
It looked like, to me, it looked like one of the Horsemen of Apocalypse type thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally, totally. So you think that's what it is, huh?
I don't know.
A Horsemen of the Apocalypse thing. Any guesses on the creators?
You had a guest on the artist, right?
I sure did. I mean, I'm sure it's wrong. But right. I guessed... well, it wasn't my guess. It, just the style of it reminded me of like early Umberto Ramos. And I know somebody threw out Phil Hester as well. I could totally see that.
The second clue looked like the People's Champ as well.
Oh! I need to message him. I need to message him because last year he and I were talking, and he said that he was going to be pitching something with somebody else writing it.
Well, there you go. I know he just had some exclusive Baby Teeth number 2
he did.
Covers.
Yep, he sure did.
Which looked badass, by the way.
Yeah, they look great. He had one for one and one for two, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. For anyone who doesn't know who the People's Champ is, it's Brent Peoples, friend of the show. Dude, Brent's awesome. Brent's awesome. Yep. I wish I had known him when I lived in Texas, because he wasn't that far from where I was staying at, like maybe 45 minutes away. We could have hung out, Brent. What's up? Anyways.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Could have got
jacked. Yeah, exactly. Go to the gym together. I can go do some karaoke when he does his DJ thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Awesome. Anyway, yeah, I hope that's what it is. I'm going to message him, actually, and I will let you know. But awesome. I'm excited. Like I said, I know he was going to try to pitch a book to Aftershock. God, and the writer I love. I don't want to spoil it. You know what? I'm going to spoil it. The writer would have been Phil Hester. So that'd be awesome.
Ooh.
Phil and Brent Peoples.
Yeah, that's like that'd be a reunion for them.
Yeah, absolutely. From the Dynamite stuff.
Yep, the Gold Key Alliance.
Gold Key Alliance. Yep. Yep, totally agree. I'm gonna tell you, dude, if that art was Brent, like he stepped it up for this.
Well, the Demon Head guy looked more like Brent than the octopus on a skyscraper. Thing,
yep, dude. Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That octopus, that was some detail, bro. But
and
you know what?
It,
like,
and if it ends up not being him, I'm gonna feel like a total douche.
Yeah, well, you know what? If it's not him, then that's too bad. They should let him and Phil do this work.
Yep.
If that's what it is, I mean, I'm totally speculating. I don't know anything about this. Never heard of this book. Who's Brent Peoples?
We don't even know what it is.
Who's Phil Hester? Never heard of him. Never heard of him.
Friend of the shows.
But yeah, it's exciting. I look forward to seeing what this thing is. I don't think they've announced anything new since Unholy Grail, right? That was the last one that was announced.
Correct.
And that's coming out in July, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. Like, it seems like there's a new number one hitting boom, boom, boom. Because I don't think we have a new one, because Jimmy's Bastards came out today.
Yep.
And then I don't think there's a new number one or a new book until Unholy Grail.
I mean, you're saying that like it's a bad thing. It's like a month away.
No, yeah, it's not very long at all.
And I mean, we had Pestilence came out last month, so a new number one a month, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And we had Baby Teeth last week.
Oh, that's
well.
Right, Baby Teeth was out last week. Yeah,
so that's what I'm saying. They're like Mike Tyson with Glass Joe, and we're on the ropes right now.
Oh, man. I wonder how those books are doing for them. Eleanor and the Egret did pretty good for the first issue. It was like 8,500 copies.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't check to see if they had anything else. Let me look at it right now. Okay, here we go. World Reader number one was 55. And we talked to Joe about this at C2E2.
Yep.
That they severely underprinted.
Uh-huh.
Because they had a really, really high demand for that book after it came out.
Right.
Is that it? Yeah, I guess that's it. Black Eyed Kids is doing pretty good in trade, though, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
People, you need to buy that book in singles. I know it reads great in trade. I agree with you. It does. Fantastic in trade. But you need to be supporting this book, man. I just plugged it on VCP, on Valley Central Podcast with Paul.
Yeah. We need to get to the issue where I come back from Florida and meet you and Jack, and you guys turn into Black Eyed Kids, I kill you. So you're only there for two panels, but then in the third panel, I die too. So, but I'm still one panel ahead of you guys.
Wait, spoiler alert. Oh, man. Good stuff. Is that it? There was an award nomination too, wasn't there?
There was two.
Oh, two. I missed the second one.
Now that you put me on the spot, what's?
I mean, you do run the Aftershock fan Facebook group, so you should know these like off the top of your head.
Yeah, I do. Hang on, give me a second. But one of them is the artist for Leah Lees. Is that how you say her name, right?
Yeah, sounds good.
And then the other one, I'm not 100% sure.
Damn. Interesting. We need to get her on. I know we talked to her about coming on the podcast.
Yeah, but she lives not in country.
Yeah, is she in France? I'm pretty sure I've seen her like drop some French stuff on her Facebook.
Yep. Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Mm. Yeah, we need to get her on. Guys, the stuff she puts on her Facebook.
She's on Altars. She's the artist on Altars.
Yeah, she's the artist on Altars. Layla. I always say Lise, but that might be wrong. It might be Lay.
Okay.
It might be Lay.
Yeah.
I'll ask Joe this weekend at Heroes.
Sounds good.
I'll be at Heroes Saturday.
There's an Aftershock exclusive cover
there
for Baby Teeth there.
There is.
And it our is. Friend Rob Krieger needs one picked up.
I will pick one up for Rob. I didn't reply. I saw the post in the group today. Mm-hmm. I didn't reply because I didn't want to get 50 million messages about, hey, can you get me a copy? Because I know when Valiant does exclusives and I show up somewhere, I get literally 100 messages. Hey, can you get me this? And I'm like, I can't buy 100 books when I go to this con.
And never mail them.
Well,
did I say that out loud? Sorry.
That's another thing. I don't have time to go to the post office.
Who has time?
I don't have time.
Unless you work there and can kick up your feet and read comics like Aaron Bell.
See, Aaron Bell needs to start a side business. Just like picking up con exclusives and selling them for twice the price. the Manning Award, that's what it is. That's what Layla got. That's good. Congratulations to you, ma'am. It's awesome. I love watching her feed, dude. Like when she does the sketches, her sketchbook stuff. It's always like random half nude women. and sure, like as a dude, that's great to see. But just the amount of detail, like the poses, like it's so cool to look at.
Yeah, it's so more cool than to look at. More than that.
Yeah. It's not just about seeing the TNA.
Right.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome. So anyways, let's talk about some books, Ronnie.
Where do you want to start at?
I'm so excited about these books. I don't know. Where do you want to start?
Do you want to start with Baby Teeth?
No.
Or do you want to start with the normals?
Yeah, let's start with the normals. Let's do that.
We kind of talked about it last, but we didn't like get into it.
Correct. And we were going to record before you guys talked to Adam.
Right.
And that fell through because all our lives suck at the moment.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. I know you guys talked about it with Adam. Adam's very excited about the book. I can see why. It's a very fun read. So let me do my nutshell recap.
There you go.
Let me do my nutshell recap.
Yeah, sounds good.
I don't even... Dude, it's so weird. Like, I thought about this the last time we're going to record. Like, how do I recap this book? But it's kind of hard. Because, like, if you recap this story, I think it gives it all away. Does that make sense?
Does it, though?
Well, it does. We talked about this a few episodes ago about how the, and I know you brought it up in the interview as well, how when the book was announced, we all thought this was going to be one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then what Adam talked about at the panel, we were like, well, that's not what we heard about this book. Right. But that sounds awesome too. And then right. we read it, and it was more of what Adam said than what the solicit said. And it was pretty special.
Yeah.
It was pretty special. I don't know if it was completely original, okay? Because either way, like, I know I talked about, what was it, Family Man, I think, the Nick Cage.
The Nicolas Cage movie.
Yep. Yeah. When the book was first solicited, that's kind of the idea that I got from this book. Mm-hmm. And then when Adam talked about it, I still had that feeling, but in many ways, this book is a little bit like Vision, Tom King's Vision for Marvel. The family aren't, they're not human, they're robots. We can spoil that, right? Yeah. Listen, if you're going to listen to this podcast, it's going to be spoilers.
Yeah.
So from now on, be prepared. But the whole family are robots created by this company to serve a purpose. We kind of got some ideas of what this purpose is, but not completely. Mm-hmm. In the first issue. Mm-hmm. But it all unravels from the son takes a fall and busts his head open.
Yep.
And when the dad goes to see, like, what's wrong with him, and sees his head busted open, there's, like, sparks coming out. He's like, oh, my God, like, what's wrong with my son? All right, so the mom picked him up, and she didn't see that he had busted his head, right? It had healed by the time she saw it. So only the dad knows or, like, figures something's wrong.
Right.
So they go, they decide to take a family vacation. They go back to their hometown to see his parents. And nobody recognizes any of them. But they recognize the people in the town.
Right.
Until they get to this one doctor who knows who they are, that he's talking to them. But of course, we find out that he's in on it, and he's talking to somebody on the phone. And supposedly this, whoever he's talking to, is sending somebody over to handle the situation. And so we find out that all these people, this family, are robots.
Right.
Where they did not know. And it was really cool, like, that twist, right? Because not only did they not know, but when they go to their hometown, everybody in the town seems to be robots, part of this program.
Yeah. Right.
And I thought that was cool. It was interesting, you know?
Yeah.
It's not something that you normally see. And again, I've seen it before, but the execution was so well done that I didn't care. And I think that's important, right?
Right, right.
Because we, maybe not on this podcast, but I know I've talked about in other shows, several writers, one of who writes some of my favorite Marvel stuff, and he's no longer at Marvel. That's all I'll say. How about that? Is
right.
that fair?
Yeah, fair.
Where I feel like sometimes when he tries to execute these stories in a new perspective, they don't always kind of hit home.
Right.
When he does his indie stuff, it works.
Yeah.
But when he was doing Big Two stuff, not so much.
Right.
And I think here, it's the opposite. Even though I've seen the story, it brings a fresh perspective to it. And I'm still excited to know how the story develops.
Right.
Even after hearing Adam talk about it. And I think that came up when you guys talked to Adam. I think he might have brought it up, as a matter of fact. That... The fact that the solicit was different than what actually happened in the story.
Yeah, that's what he said, that he was just like, the hell with it. I'm an announcer at C2E2 because, you know, it's getting crunch time and nobody knows what the hell's going on.
Right. And I think to some extent you want to have that mystery. Like, you don't want to know everything about the book. You don't want to know the twist.
Right.
But at the same time, like, you want to make sure that you're 100% with your readers. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you tell your readers that your book is about one thing, when they go and pick it up, they're going to expect exactly that thing.
Right.
Like, I mean, they'll know that there's going to be some kind of twist, like new stuff is going to pop up. They don't expect you to tell them the whole story. But
seriously, have you not read the internet lately?
Listen. Yes, I know. But here's the thing. A lot of people on the internet are garbage, so it doesn't matter. I'm talking about, like, normal people, like you and I.
I understand. Like the normals.
Like the normals, exactly.
I see what you did there.
See, that's why you're my favorite. I thought it was well done. The art was good. It wasn't my favorite of all the Aftershock books, I will say that, but I think it was fitting for the story. And I think it's got some really, really good potential for the next few issues. And it was interesting too because it's so, so different from Rough Riders.
Yeah.
And I like that. You know, sometimes artists or writers get like in a wheelhouse, mm-hmm. and that's the kind of thing they want to do. Or they get
pigeonholed into doing a certain genre.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was about to make a Tom King comment. I don't know. Does Daryl listen to this? I don't think Daryl listens to this. It'll be okay. Because everybody else understands, but Daryl thinks I'm attacking Tom King. When my question came up on this Batman podcast that Tom was on, the answer was honest, and I appreciated it, right? Like, Tom is writing what he knows and what he's comfortable doing, and he's applying that to Batman. And I think that's more than a fair answer. Like, I think that's exactly what every single writer and artist should be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you know, we just said it. You don't want to be pigeonholed. So you don't always want to do exactly what you're comfortable with doing.
Right.
And I think that really shows here, you know. This is very different from Rough Riders. It's very different from his Suicide Squad run. It's very different from the supernatural stuff. I guess the stuff that I've watched doesn't count because he wasn't doing it. But you know what I mean? Like, none of it is the same. And I think that's important, not only for the reader, but that's got to be important for a creator too, right? Like, you don't want to do the same stuff all the time.
Right. Yeah, you get burnt out on it, I would think.
Yeah. So anyway, I've talked a lot about this book. Why don't you talk about this book a little bit? What'd you think?
Well, I really enjoyed it, and I know when I was talking to Adam, I used an analogy of like the Truman Show.
Yeah.
Did you get that at all?
Yeah, I sure did.
I don't know if I explained it very good, but
no,
like
you did.
It seemed like just like on the show, you know, before like the whatever falls from the sky or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it felt like, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're in Pleasantville when they go back.
Yeah.
And like everybody's like, "Whoa, nope, everything's fine." And then, you know, you got the shady doctor. So me, like I said, like these number ones that are coming out are like hitting, I mean, we have high expectations for them anyway because they're Aftershock, and we know or we think that they're going to be solid anyway. Like this one really, I mean, it's Adam, so, you know, you put faith in the writer that you already like anyway, right?
Yep.
But it, like, raises that bar because you go in thinking or expecting one thing, and then you're pleasantly surprised or shocked that it's better than what you actually thought.
Mm.
So, yeah. The art was a little roughish, but like you said, it fit the story, so, I mean, I don't want it to look crisp and pristine.
Sure.
Which sometimes it did, but then other times, like, maybe when it wasn't supposed to, it didn't.
Well, so I've seen some of the black and white, the artist renditions of some of these pages,
mm-hmm.
And they were a lot cleaner. So I think some of that is the coloring.
Maybe.
And, you know, our boy Swaggy P didn't do this book.
That's right.
So, I mean, there's your problem. Where's,
yeah.
Where's Swaggy P?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like I said, it still fits because you want to give it... I don't want to say dreamlike, but I mean, in a way, like they are stuck in a dream, right? So you wanna give that impression a little bit,
right?
And so it still worked. I thought it was well done. I thought it was well done.
Right.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Is this a 4-issue, right? 4-issue mini?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Normals is great. The second issue comes out. Oh my god. Second issue comes out next week.
Yes.
God, we're slackers. Shame on us.
Shameful.
You need to go twitter.com/JackSutherland and tell him to quit being a slack.
Yep.
We got to record more often. God, it's been almost a month since this came out, dude. We're terrible.
I know.
Terrible.
Well, because we weren't going to record. Because we were going to wait and talk to Adam about it. And
listen,
then
don't lie to the people.
I'm not lying to the people.
Don't lie to the people.
Because then we got extremely busy.
Yeah, that is true. Let's do Baby Teeth. How about that?
Okay.
Baby Teeth is Donnie Cates.
Which is another awesome.
One of my favorite.
Yep.
One of my favorite. Gary Brown is doing the art. Mark Englert is doing the colors. Taylor Esposito is doing the letters. How about I'll let you
nutshell.
Guide us through the nutshell, yeah.
Okay. Nutshell review would be the teenage mom has like a pocket recorder, I guess, or a cell phone recorder.
Yep.
And she's videoing or audioing. Which one is it? Is she videoing?
I think she's trying to video it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she is.
Okay. A message to her baby,
mm-hmm.
which hopefully he'll be old enough to see it down the road. And basically everything that she explains and then explains like the easy for me to say. The things that go on as she's having like contractions or not contractions, and then all the weird stuff that's happening, and like the earthquakes, and you know, it's kind of it's like we just talked about, like having that story done before, but there's mm-hmm. a fresh take on it though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, yeah. So it's like how I Met Your Mother, only with the Antichrist.
Dude, I didn't even think about that. That's interesting, yeah. It's like part How I Met Your Mother, part what's that movie? It's not called Damien. God, The Omen? Yeah,
the
that's
Omen,
it.
Yeah.
Part The Omen. Part like Varsity Blues, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right?
Yeah.
But it works, dude. Like, that's why I love Donnie. Like he comes up with the weirdest stuff, and it just mm-hmm. somehow fits together really, really well. Yeah, it was interesting. It was very interesting. I didn't know what to expect. I don't even know if we got a preview copy of this. I don't read the previews usually anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I was very excited to read it just because of Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that it did really well is the way that the artist rendered the script.
Yeah.
Because there's some panels that are very... I don't want to say normal, like the typical panels, right?
Right.
But there's places where the entire formatting of the page changes so drastically from things that you were reading in previous pages.
Right.
Like every time she has a contraction, like everything turns red, right? Like it's very erratic because there's earthquakes, so of course it makes sense. And there's that one panel. When is oh it's towards the end. Oh my god, that page was amazing. When she's about to give birth to her kid,
uh-huh.
And the whole page turns red. It's red and black, and it's when she dies. or she thinks she dies. We'll see if she actually dies, but she thinks she dies, and it's like this, like super minimalist landscape. It's just her. It's just her and the words, and like even, I mean, I gotta give it up to the letters, Taylor Esposito, because in that page, like even the letters transform, right? Like you have bubbles and boxes throughout the issue, like a regular comic book you would. But then in this page, like all that disappears, and like the words kind of blend into the art, which blends into the background. God, it was so well done. So well done.
Yep. It, the page layout is non-traditional.
Oh, like, very much so. Yeah.
It starts out that way, kind of, and then ends up that way with her like sitting on the wreckage part.
Yep.
But like everything in between, or whatever, is like totally non-traditional layouts, which is awesome.
Yep. Yeah, it's really, really well done. I dug it. The I really like the art too, and I wonder how others will feel about the art of this book, because it is scratchy, but it's not. I always hate when you have a scratchy artist,
because like Lionel Francis, you.
Well, because you want to use certain words to explain what it looks like.
Right.
But then if you use those words, it almost feels like you're insulting the art.
Right, yeah.
And that's not at all the case. Like, the book is... it's beautiful. I loved it. And a lot of it is how dynamic every page is. I think that really, really helps. I don't know. There's something about it, man. Like, so I talked about Umberto Ramos earlier. And it doesn't quite remind me of that. Mm-hmm. But there's that like cartoonish style a little bit to this book.
It kind of has the unfinished, not as crisp look.
Yes. Yeah, which I really dig. I know people prefer the most realistic you can get. I'm kind of the opposite. I don't like super minimalist. But I dig minimalist lines and just like very rough lines, and I don't know,
just especially like for this genre, it feels like that.
Genre,
but I guess, you know, kind of like horror-ish, I guess.
If well, and in some ways, it the art reminded me a little bit of Black Eyed Kids. A lot of the same color palette is used in here.
Right.
It's a much darker book. The art is not as finished as it is in Black Eyed Kids. But even then, I thought it still worked really, really well. I was very, very pleasantly surprised. I love Baby Teeth number one. That's a freaking awesome book, man.
Yep.
It seems like all the new number ones, I'm just kind of giving them 5 out of 5s because really, like, they're awesome.
Yep. I agree.
Just awesome.
I've said it on here plenty of times, and I said it on our Facebook group plenty of times. It's like each number one is a home run.
Yep.
So, kind of off rails though, that means that there might be a number one that's not a home run, and it just might be like right off the wall and be a triple.
Oh yeah.
But we're gonna feel bad about it because, you know, it didn't like grab us like these last four number ones have.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? You don't have to like everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay to not like something.
Yeah.
Paul and I, actually, that's funny, because Paul and I talked about this exact thing on Valiant Central tonight. And as a matter of fact, I brought it into the context of Aftershock. And one of the things that I talked about was insects. And we have yet to talk about insects on this podcast after 25 issues, or 25 episodes. Insects is at what, like issue 12 or 13, 14, something like that. It's one of the longer running titles. We've never talked about it on here, and I've thought about doing it on my own just so we can talk about it, but I always feel like I don't want to do that either, you know.
I
dig it, but it's not my favorite thing, and it's not even Marguerite, because I mean Animosity is freaking amazing. You know.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have that. Some books will really hit, some won't.
Right.
You know, and that's okay. I think it's important to know as a comic fan what you like and don't like, and just be frank about it.
Yep.
You know, some people buy everything from a certain company just because they like that company,
right.
And that's not always feasible. You know, and that
right.
that matter. I mean, it probably matters more for a smaller publisher like Aftershock, right?
Yeah, right. And like one of the group members on the Facebook page said that they read something. They picked up the first trade of something, I can't remember what, and wanted to know where they go from here.
Oh yeah, and I saw that. Yeah.
And my response was, Aftershock's like have such a big genre that something's gonna hit with you, right?
Yeah,
if you want a period piece, then you got Rough Riders. You know, if you got sci-fi, there's The Revisionist and World Reader now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got like post-apocalyptic type stuff, then we got Animosity. If you got dark horror-ish, you got Black Eyed Kids and Baby Teeth now.
Yep. Well, and Pestilence, I would say.
Yeah, and Pestilence, and maybe even Blood Blister, too.
Yeah, Blood Blister, too. Blood Blister, too.
But that's just it. There's, you know, something for everybody, I think.
Which, I haven't been tracking this, by the way. Blood Blister's getting a new artist, correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. I know I talked about it on another podcast a little bit. What was it? Oh, you know what? It was on Nerdy Legion.
It was on Nerdy Legion, yeah.
Yep. I'm not going to go into details here, but if you want to hear the train wreck that is that podcast, you can hear my thoughts on that over there.
Nobody wants to hear that train wreck.
I think it was episode 99. Oh, my God. Dude, I'm going to tell you. It's not the most the most downloaded podcast on the network, but
it's
the
funnest.
It is the well, it's the funnest for me to record because we talk about whatever the hell we want.
Right.
But I also get the most comments from that podcast, probably because we talk about so much BS that people feel the need to actually comment. Anyways, yeah,
check that out. It does have the most shirts.
It does have a lot of shirts that are not real.
That are not real.
For the record.
That should be real.
That should be real. They might be soon. Yes, Baby Teeth was really, really fun. We're going to 5 out of 5 this and move on to Pestilence. Pestilence number 2 came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll recap this one.
Go for it.
How am I going to recap this one? I need to, prepare for this podcast. No, never mind. I don't do that.
You don't prepare.
I don't prepare for anything. Pestilence, nutshell recap. The Fiat Lux, our group of heroes, are traveling back home.
To the Vatican.
To the Vatican to get their new orders. Their teammate that was bitten in the last issue turns into a full-fledged zombie. They kick his ass. They get to Rome, to the Vatican, and everybody's a zombie. And there's some kick-ass fighting. The end.
Well, kind of.
But yeah.
Because, it's crazy because this is the second issue, and two of, I would say, the main cast this group is already gone.
Yeah, dead. Oh, that's right, yeah, because it's the friar, right, that dies in this issue.
Michael, right?
Yeah. He falls into the river, or sea? River?
Yeah,
it's got to be a river. And, of course, it's full of zombies underwater.
Yeah,
so he gets
can't dock.
Well, we assume he's killed.
Right, yeah.
I mean, he could escape somehow from that.
Yeah. Because zombies can't swim. I mean, come on.
They can't swim, but, I mean, they're not going to die underwater.
Well, I know. But, I mean, he can dive deeper than swim, is what I'm saying. So there's a possibility that he's still alive.
You've obviously never seen Land of the Dead. Because there are some underwater zombies in there.
Well, I understand that, yes, I've seen it. I'm just saying that he's going to purposely dive deeper than what the zombies can go.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I guess. But see, in that movie, they just walk on the ground. Here, they're like floating up top.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Because they're dead bodies, so dead bodies float.
Sure. Well, I mean, I wouldn't know, Ronnie.
You lived in New York City. Come on.
So?
Anyway.
What are you saying?
Cement shoes, buddy. Cement shoes.
Is that an Italian joke? Because that's kind of racist.
Well, isn't the mob from New York?
Oh, my God. That's it. This podcast is over. Making fun of my people. Anyways. So they get to the Vatican. They fend off these millions of zombies, literally. Mm-hmm. For, I mean, what? Like, dude, at least half the book. Like,
yeah.
That's one thing I dig about this. Like, they're just killing zombies left and right.
Yeah.
And it's really well done. Really well done. If you're a Walking Dead fan, listen, you need to quit reading that book and you need to read this book.
Yeah.
Okay, because this is fun and that's boring. That's just the way it goes. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, seriously, I quit reading Walking Dead, but I read it for a long time. But I mean, it's just like the show. Like, nothing happens for a long time. And then, like, something happens for, like, 5 minutes, and then nothing happens for a really long time. And then, so far, with two issues of Pestilence, it's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
It's like,
because
action, 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 nothing. Action, action. Well, actually, you know what? There's been no nothing in here.
Yeah, there's been no nothing.
Yeah. You were saying?
No, I was just saying, because fighting the horde of zombies, mm-hmm. half water, half land...
Yep.
Is only like half of the book, because then more craziness happens once they get inside.
Yeah, so once they get inside the building, they meet... By the way, I'm still convinced that this guy is a woman, but we'll see.
The younger one?
Yeah, the young one. Mm-hmm. When they get inside, there's like... there's no zombies in there, right? There's just nobody in there.
Yeah.
When they go inside the Vatican.
Yeah.
Everybody's gone. Except one monk.
Mm-hmm.
Who's gone bananas.
Yes.
He's just talking gibberish about feces and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm surprised he said feces, because knowing Frank Thierry and how many F-bombs are dropped in this book, I expected some S-bombs. But there weren't.
Right.
Satan and feces is the cause of this plague. But in his hand, he's holding a scroll with their next orders. And their next orders are to go to Avignon to rescue the Pope.
So it's like a long treasure hunt.
A very long treasure hunt. And I mean, I don't know like the exact distance, but from the Vatican to Avignon, I mean, it's got to be several hundred miles. Or, you know, like 1,000 miles probably.
Right.
And they're traveling on horseback, so this is going to be a long trek.
So then when they finally get there, sorry, but the Pope is in a different castle.
That's possible. That is very possible. I don't know, what's the plan for this book? Is this a mini, or is it an ongoing, or we'll see what happens?
I think it's a... I don't know if it was actually announced or not.
Okay. I mean, there's no way this book can be 4 issues.
Right, yeah.
Right. It might be something longer like Super Zero. What was Super Zero? Right. 6 or 7, maybe? I could see that. But, I mean, the amount of traveling they need to do, there's no way they can wrap this up in 2 more issues.
Right. Agreed.
Which is good. You know what? Good for you, Aftershock. Because everybody wants to do these 4-issue arcs, and that just gets boring.
Yep.
Just gets boring.
Well, see, and, like, revert back to the normals. I'm not sure how long it is either, because I don't think they can wrap that up in 4 issues either.
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell from just 1 issue, right?
Well, I mean... Yeah, we need at least 6 or 12 on that. Because one sets the table, and the table's even barely set. And so then we'll have issue 2 and 3 where it hits the fan, and then 4 would finalize everything?
Hopefully. I don't know.
But
I think this story is there's too much to tell here for four issues.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, I would want at least 12 issues of this, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And the way the first two issues have been going, I would just want this to continue forever.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, I want...
This is right in our alley.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I want Frank Thierry to turn to a zombie and live forever or gain immortality somehow and just write pestilence until the day I die.
Yeah. Until you turn into a zombie?
Yep, yep. Because, I mean, when I read the first issue, I was super stoked. And I haven't thought about it much since the first issue came out. But now reading number two, I'm like, God damn it. Where have you been in my life?
Yep.
You know?
Yep, agreed.
And now I just want the next one. So, I mean, I'm not going to say it's my favorite right now. But it might be my favorite. But only because there's no Black Eyed Kids right now.
That's right.
You know?
I mean, you know. You gotta take a break every once in a while to let the other kids play in the yard.
Everybody should go pick that up. I'm telling you, Black Eyed Kids is great. It is great.
Yep, yep.
Ronnie makes an appearance, but not Jack and I, because we're not special enough.
Yeah, well. Mm. Mm. I told you. Spoilers.
This podcast was my idea, God damn it.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Anything else you want to say about Pestilence?
Besides it's awesome? No.
I'm gonna do the unthinkable, Ronnie. I'm gonna give this second issue another 5 out of 5, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I love the living bejesus out of this book.
Yeah. It's pretty damn amazing, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There's just total chaos everywhere. There's even like the little subtlety jokes is there. Because, yep. Like, I mean, come on. It's hitting the fan and the monk guy's going crazy.
Sure.
How is that not funny?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they just walk back out and kick ass again.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, there's a lot. As much action as there's a lot of humor. But there's also a lot of very serious things discussed. And like in this issue, there was a lot of friction between the different members of the team because of the way that they're being led. Some people want to do something else. You know, they don't want to follow their mission. And I mean, can you blame them?
Right. Yeah, yeah. And it was even like little small things that they were bickering about, like how they were going to dock and get to land.
Right, right, right.
Yep. So.
Good stuff, man. Pestilence, pick that up. I've been freaking talking about this book everywhere.
Yep.
I just love it. It's so good. Let's see here, Ronnie. Today...
Mm-hmm.
What do we have today? We had World Reader number 3.
Yep.
Animosity number 8. And... Wait, did that come out?
No.
It did not come out. It was pushed back.
It's just Jimmy's Bastards.
Jimmy's
number
Bastards,
1.
Yep.
Which sounds amazing in itself, right?
It does. I haven't read either one because I do DCBS and that takes a minute. Yeah.
Shameful.
I know. But anyways, I'll probably have read them by next time we record, which won't be next month, Ronnie. It better be next week, goddammit.
Hey, I'm not the one that backs out usually on this one.
You know, it's been busy, Ronnie. It's been busy.
Other podcasts, I might be guilty of that, but...
We might need to pre-record, because I'm not sure I'll be able to do anything next week. But I'll let you know.
Okay.
So that's this week. Next week is going to be Jackpot number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm... Oh my God, it's the last issue?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So we'll see if my questions are answered, because that's been my only issue with that book.
Right.
The Normals number 2 is out next week as well. And I think that's it. Because the week after is Rough Riders number 4 and Eleanor and the Egret number 3. So good times.
Yep.
Maybe I'll see if Joe's got some copies at Heroes and I'll read them beforehand. Oh, man.
You can talk to Donnie. Donnie's going to be there.
Oh, that's right. Donnie's going to be there. I'm going to see about talking to Donnie for the podcast. However, I will have my kids there, so it might not work out.
Well, even if you don't do it in person, you can set up a time.
Oh, sure, yeah. Oh no, I'll definitely do that.
Yeah,
I'm just saying about live and direct.
Yep, live and in color.
Live and in color. What else you got? Anything else, or should we wrap up?
That's about all that I can think of, buddy.
Fantastic. You can reach us on the most important place on the planet, the Aftershock Comic Fans Group on Facebook.com. Of course, you can find us on Twitter, at Rombar316, at Geekvine, at Jack Sutherland, at Aftershock Pod. There's email, but I don't check it, so you know what? Who uses email, Ronnie? Let's be serious.
I check the email.
You check email?
Yes. Okay. How do you think I set up the Aaron Glass one?
Oh, that's right. That's right. But I'm saying, though, people don't email.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, for business, yes, but, like, no. Otherwise, like, Twitter's the best place, dude.
Yep.
The Twitter machine is the place to be.
Throw those DMs in there.
Bam, there you go. I guess that's going to be it. We'll be back, fingers crossed, next week.